Well, as indicated earlier then, let's turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. And our text this morning is verse 15. Our series, as you know, is a series on grace. And I think really it's been a good number of Sundays now that we've thought together about the subject of the grace of God. And if you look at verse 15, you'll read there, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." And what Paul does here is he links grace to the glory of God. Well, we'll see that this morning. And then if you turn over to chapter 6, then we're going to look this evening at the very first verse. So chapter 6, verse 1, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." So we'll be looking at that verse in the light of chapter 5. And then this verse 15 of chapter 4, we'll be putting in its context. So let's ask God to help us then as we turn to his word. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you then for many Sundays now we've explored together the subject of grace. And we have seen that as Christians, we are in a relationship of grace. We have seen that grace is the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. We have seen, our God, that grace has many colours. We have seen that there are three primary colours: common grace, saving grace, and persevering grace. Lord, we've seen that grace, sometimes in our experience, will be sufficient. It'll be just enough. And Lord, that's the case when we are facing trials. But we've also seen that grace will abound in our experience. And that, our God, is when we deal with and struggle with our sin. We've seen, our God, that grace can be sufficient and abounding when a Christian develops a willing mind. A mind, our God, that doesn't look at problems and reasons why we can't do things, but instead a mind, our God, that is open to finding ways in which we can do something, even if at the moment we may not know what. And so, our God, we continue today in the subject of grace, and we ask your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's put this verse then in its context. And if you've got your Bibles in front of you, can you just note that from the beginning of chapter 3 right to the end of chapter 7, Paul is dealing with the subject of the Christian ministry. And he's giving lots and lots of detail about what it means to be a Christian minister. And he's also telling us what it means in the purposes of God that God has set up a Christian ministry. Now, these chapters then are Paul's manifesto, if you like. They are Paul's theology on Christian ministry. And I want to point out two verses, if I can, to show you how Paul understands the idea of preaching and how he understands the message of the preacher. Will you, first of all, in chapter 4, look at verses 4 and 6. Now, as you read these two verses, I want you to recognize the background that is in the mind of the Apostle Paul. Verse 4, then, chapter 4. "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Now keep in mind the idea there of light and of light shining. And then look at verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I think it's clearer in verse 6, the Old Testament background that Paul has in mind. Look again at verse 6. The God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. And then again, you've got the idea of shining, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So what do you think? What is Paul referencing here in verse 4 and 6? Well, if you're still not sure, turn across to chapter 5, and there's some well-known verses in this chapter that's going to help us. Look, first of all, at chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, and so on. Now, do you see the connection? Paul is making reference to the story of creation. And Paul is telling us that the Christian ministry, preaching, is a new creation work of God. And what Paul is doing here, he's talking about darkness, he's talking about light, and he's talking about the Word. So, in the story of Genesis, God speaks, and there is light coming from darkness, and there is a new creation. Now, against that background, the Apostle Paul is saying that God is working a new creation, that the word that is preached, the word of ministry, is a word that reaches darkness, and the darkness is in the hearts of men and women. That word brings light, and the result of that light is a new creation. Men and women are being called out of darkness by the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And men and women who hear and believe are being formed into a new creation. So if you forget everything else that I'll say to you this morning, I want you to remember this idea. The Bible teaches two creation stories. The first is in Genesis, and it's a physical creation story. There is darkness, God speaks, there is light, there is creation. There is then a second creation story in the New Testament. There is darkness in the hearts of men and women. There is speaking, the preacher speaks, the word of God is preached. Then the light of God shines through that spoken word, and where it is received, men and women become new creatures. There is a new spiritual creation as a result of the work of God. So do you think we'll fix this idea in our minds? Two creation stories, one physical, the other spiritual. And if you're a Christian, then you are part of this new creation work of God. You are a new creature. You're in this new heavens and earth that is the result of the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's Paul then. He's spelling out what Christian ministry is, the preaching and the message. It's the way in which God is working a new creation. And this new creation, will outlast and supersede the old physical creation. So that's the background to what Paul is telling us here. And if you look at our text then, what Paul is saying is that in preaching, he is ministering the grace of God, and the result is that God is glorified. He's ministering grace to men and women, bringing in the new creation, and the result is that God is glorified. Now, I want us to look at three things from that perspective this morning. So, just hold in your minds. It's a new creative work of God. Paul and his preaching is the way in which the word spoken that God is bringing in this new creation. And as Paul speaks, he ministers grace. Grace brings in this new creation. Let's have a look at three things. First of all, verse 7. What Paul is very keen to acknowledge is that God is using men in this new creation work. Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So God's doing a new creation through, through ordinary men and women. Men and women of clay. That's whom God is using to minister grace and do a new work of creation. If you look at verse 7, the idea of an earthen vessel simply means an ordinary clay pot. Something you'd find in the house. It's of no value. It's rather functional. It's very ordinary. It would be soon broken. That is the idea of the men whom God uses to preach and to minister grace. Preachers, leaders, earthen vessels. Now, can I just ask you to take a moment to remember what was the relationship between Paul and the church at Corinth like? Can you remember? Do you remember that the Christians were very critical of Paul, weren't they, at Corinth? They found his preaching very boring. They thought that Paul was a little bit simple. They thought that his messages were a bit repetitive and a bit monotonous. They didn't think Paul was very physically impressive. He was quite unimposing, quite ordinary. He didn't have great flights of fancy in his sermons. They weren't impressed with Paul, and they were quite critical of him. Well, I would say this. It's always been like that, hasn't it? Churches seem to be always critical of ministers. It's always been the case, and I guess it always will. Sometimes churches expect ministers not to be earthen vessels, but instead to be vessels of gold or silver or precious stones. Sometimes congregations will expect ministers to have crystal balls so that they can know everything. They will expect ministers to be able to mind read so that they know everyone's problems. They will expect ministers to live at this super level, high and above how they themselves live. Right from Paul's day, right up until now, there is this criticism of the preacher, the sort of person he is, and the way that he lives. Now, what Paul is very clear about is God uses ordinary clay pots for those who are to preach this message. It's a treasure, So, the preaching is the preaching of a treasure, a uniquely valuable, hugely significant, wonderful message that is to be preached, a proclamation of God's purpose, of how God is working, making a new creation, sending his son. It's a wonderful message, but it's a message in an ordinary clay pot. And that's what Paul is reminding this church about. And I would guess that all of us need to be reminded there is not one standard for you and me and a different standard for the preacher. There is not one expectation for you and me and then a higher expectation for the preacher. He's nothing special. He's not unique. He's not some sort of wonder man sent down from heaven. He is an ordinary clay pot, just like the rest of us. And God has then entrusted this ordinary clay pot with a wonderful message. And look at what Paul says in verse 7. So that when people hear the message and receive the message and respond to the message and grow it as a result of the message, it is all because of the excellence of the power of God which is at work. Was it last Sunday? I can't remember. Could have been two Sundays ago when we just talked about how if you turn on the TV and turn on to those religious programs, you'll see some people there, some presenters, some preachers who make a great deal of how wonderful they are. And they'll talk about their wonderful experiences and how dynamic they are and how exceptional they are and how great their experience is. Can I just remind you that we're all clay pots? That's all we are. And that's whom God has used from the very beginning to spread a message that is a treasure and through which God then works to bring grace to the many for his glory. So from verse 7 then, can you see as you look at your Bibles, right down to verse 15, Paul expands on this idea of what it means to be a clay pot. Hard pressed on every side, crushed but not forsaken, persecuted, dying every day. He's an ordinary clay pot, knocked about through irregular use. But it's the message of grace that matters. And so as you go down verse 16 and onwards, can you see that he then spells out why it is he doesn't get discouraged? Through all his experiences and all the challenges and all the demands, why isn't Paul discouraged? It's because he is part of this great work of God bringing in a new creation and God ministering grace to the many for his glory. So I want to show two things as we close, verses 17 and 18. What those two verses do is they give us an insight into Paul's priorities as a minister. What is he seeking to do? As he preaches, as he ministers grace, what is Paul seeking to do? Look at verse 17 first of all. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now here's a verse that I would say should be a priority for every preacher. The preacher is seeking to teach his congregation how to live in the present moment. That's in verse 17 and verse 18. How do we live in the present moment? Well, first of all, in verse 17, Paul is teaching the Christians to make a comparison. Compare what you now experience with what is to come. And if you like, that's a priority for ministry. Whichever verse you're in, whichever Bible book you're looking at, here's what you want the Christian in the church to be able to do. To live day by day, to live in such a way that we compare today with what's ahead of us. Comparing now with what's to come. So look at how Paul does that in verse 17. First of all, in preaching, tell me what you think of this. He wants himself and other Christians to come to the point where you see what you're going through today as light affliction. That's what he wants Christians to see. In the purposes of God, as God brings about a new creation, what we go through today is a light affliction. Now, some of us this morning, as we came into church before the service, we were having conversations, and we were quite rightly, quite properly, sharing our experiences. And for some of you this morning, life is really tough at this present time. And it's been tough for some of you for a long time. And yet here is Paul saying that the aim of ministry is to help us to see that the here and now is light affliction. Go back over these verses. Look at verse 8. Go down from verse 8. Here's Paul describing being hard-pressed, being persecuted, being perplexed. And yet Paul is saying all of this is light affliction. I think it's quite amazing, isn't it? Not just for Paul now, but for any preacher. What we are to do is to preach in such a way, minister the grace of God in such a way, so that those who are listening can say, whatever I'm going through is light affliction. How are we going to get there? Well, look again at verse 17. Which is but for a moment, and is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How can we see the here and now as a light affliction? Well, there's two clues there. Do you see them? Verse 17, the first, it's but for a moment. Now, obviously, that moment can be weeks, months, years, but it's a moment compared to eternity. And it's ministering that that enables Paul and the church to say, it's a light affliction. I keep in mind that here in this physical creation, this old creation that is passing away, it's but for a moment. But what is ahead of me is eternal glory. So it's comparing the moment with eternity. That's what Paul is saying, first of all, in verse 17. He preaches in such a way. He ministers grace in such a way so that we can then compare what we are afflicted with against eternity. It's but for a moment against eternity. And then the second idea in verse 17 is the idea of glory. Paul is making a direct link between suffering and glory. The more you suffer, the more glory there will be. If that suffering is persecution or perplexity, whatever it is, in his preaching, there's a direct link between suffering here and glory that is to follow. So it's a moment against eternity. It's suffering and the amount of glory. The more suffering, the more the amount of glory. So that's how Paul is ministering. Lastly, look at verse 18. What's the other priority for him? His other priority in preaching and ministering grace is to enable this to be the case. Verse 18, we do not see or look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now again, this is Paul's preaching. He's aiming to teach people not to go on what you see, not to base your life on how you feel, but to live and base your life on what can't be seen, on what's not available to your senses at the present moment. What is behind the veil, if you like, that separates the old creation from the new creation. Paul is teaching his people to live as if you're already in the new creation. Live as if you're in this spiritual creation, not the physical one that surrounds you. So it's not sight, but it's faith. It's not touch, but it's faith. It's not physical, but it is spiritual. Look at the end of verse 18. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So let's sum up what we've said, and then we'll close. Two stories of creation. The second is spiritual. And God is working a new creation work through the preaching of this treasure, this message of Christ. The message is in clay pots, but it's a message of grace. It's a message to new creatures. It's a message that aims, first of all, to help us see that the now is for a moment. It's light affliction. Ahead of us is eternity and glory. That's the aim of preaching. Reminding us of that every Sunday. Reinforcing this when we come together. Because we get so caught up in the here and now. And we get filled with life in the here and now. And then the second priority, verse 18. Preaching so that the Christian, the new creature, learns not to look at what you can see, not to go by what you feel, not to be governed by this old creation that surrounds us, but to recognize we are new creatures in a new creation, and we are to live in the light of the glory and the majesty and the wonder of that new creative work of which we are part. Well, let's pray, shall we?